So you can tell right away from the title that this this presentation is going to differ from the three previous before it. It's not a research-based presentation, but more about a how-to using social media. And I'm going to talk about the social media that a couple grad students at Oregon State use to promote physical activity. I have no relationships to disclose. I didn't benefit from this in any way. not yet. So the learning objectives, hopefully what you guys can take away from today. I really want to make sure we're demonstrating how to use the basic skills of social media as an effective means of communication to promote and adapt physical activity and health behaviors. We want to make sure that you know how to formulate and disseminate information about how to adapt physical activity via social media, and how to design and engage design engaging and stimulating media content to promote physical activity participation. So we've talked a little bit about this, so I won't go over it too much, but we know that individuals with disabilities tend to engage in less PA than the general population, and this can lead to higher rates of comorbidities and secondary conditions, and lower quality of life, and decreased ability to complete activities of daily living. And so we want to address that. So what we're working to do is increase the awareness of common barriers experienced by individuals with disabilities. So these are for the people that might be creating fitness programs or run a fitness center, making them aware of what's going on. We also want to spread information about adapted physical activity programs, so letting people know that they're available on campus, where to go to seek that out, and begin a dialogue about the importance of physical activity for individuals with disabilities and promotion of PA behaviors. And so we're engaging not only individuals with disabilities and facilities that are providing opportunities for physical activity, but also we're engaging a lot with students on our campus and recruiting them to come in and help out with our programs. So in case you've missed it, social media is a very broad area. There are many different types of social media, and we're specifically going to focus on two of them. But blogs and forums pop up all over the place. They're long text-based areas, and sometimes you don't know exactly who's saying what or what their credentials are to back it up. Bookmarking sites, if you're anything like me, you've got a Pinterest and you've got a million things on there and that you're constantly coming back to. Media sharing is YouTube or any sort of way to get active content out there. And microblogging would be Twitter, so that's anything where you're having a text-based generation of a message, but it's limited to characters. So there's only 140 characters on Twitter. And social networks, so if you can remember back to way back when Facebook, you needed a .edu to join, right? It can depend on what the network requires, how it lets you in, and how you pull people together. And then social news is Reddit, which claims to be the front page of the internet, right, where people can vote on stories and whether or not they like it, and then you can check it out and see what's happening in the world. So we're going to focus on the microblogging and social networks. So when you're creating your social media content, you really want to think about what are your objectives and specific aims. For us, it's really to engage the disability community in the conversations about physical activity and healthy lifestyle. We also want to promote physical activity engagement and increase knowledge on how to adapt physical activity and community resources. So when you're setting up your social media, you really want to make sure you think through this clearly and make it crystal clear what you want to do. Sometimes you want to cast a really wide net, but if you go too broad, you'll wind up losing a lot of people. We all have different things pop up on our Twitter or our Facebook page if we're on those, and if it's too vague or if it's not really what we're interested in, we never check it out, we never go back to it. So we don't want that to happen. We want to be crystal clear about what we're focusing on and then draw people in that way. Another big way to figure out what you're doing is who's your target audience. It can be individuals with disabilities, and we work with a lot of children with disabilities, so for us it's parents, and it can be partners of individuals with disabilities, relevant professionals, any of you guys, PTs, OTs, support systems, and for us, volunteers and students. We're constantly working to engage them and bring them in. And once you know your audience, then you can sort of look at which form of social media is best for you. And the demographics of the different social media types are very different. Facebook right now is really leaning towards a 30-plus crowd. It's got a little bit older market, so it's a really great resource for us for reaching out to parents. While Twitter is still really right around the college age, and then we have new forms of social media that pop up all the time, like Snapchat or stuff like that the youngest kids tend to be on right away. So you have to figure out what audience you're going for and where's the best way to get that info across. And then, of course, what's your message? You really want to, if you've talked about social media, you'll hear people saying things like, brand yourself, and really making it clear that what you're doing is this one thing. You sort of want to have your niche. You want to be known that this is the Twitter handle, this is the Twitter page I need to go to for this info. A really good example or way to think of it is comedians will have niches like, I'm trying to think of one, like Jon Stewart can have stuff, and he's always focusing on the politics, right? So I know if I'm going to look at that, that's what I'm going to get back from him. So for us, it's the importance of physical activity for individuals with disabilities, the awareness of common barriers, obviously not to let individuals with disabilities know what those are, but let others who are working with them. I mean, again, we're really working on that dialogue. So we're not only engaging individuals with disabilities, but those without, and really making a connection there. And then we want to provide individuals with info about modifying physical activity programs, and then promotion of PA behavior. So where can they do this? Where can they get engaged? Where's local stuff happening in their community? So a big decision you'll have to make is how you want to engage your audience. A lot of times it's not necessarily what you're saying, but how you're saying it that will determine whether or not you get a lot of traffic to your various forms of social media. So a good option is funny versus controversial. Some people will post particularly controversial or stimulating topics to try to generate a conversation, to try to generate a lot of feedback. A good way to get a lot of shares is to have something that's very funny, right? And I saw it, and you just have to see it. I have to get this to you. We've all had that come down the pipe towards us. For us, we did a lot of step-by-step guides and linking to additional info. So we have a lot of expert information, but also we'd like to take you to somewhere where there's expert information and give you resources. And so this is just an example of something we retweeted that Disabled Sports USA provided. And they created a conversation on Twitter, Connect with Kirk, where you could ask questions and get to know stuff. Once you've got that all figured out and it's up and running, you really want to evaluate your impact and make sure your strategy's working. Are you targeting who you want? Are you getting feedback? Are you getting the conversations? And so this can be a little tricky on social media. A lot of people have Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that, but maybe they're not checking it regularly, maybe they're not signing on, and how do you really know your message is out there and coming across? So the way we look at it is through the retweets, sharing of posts, and followers and likes. Liking is something that's really easy, right? I don't have to engage with that content very much. I just hit like and move on to the next thing. But sharing it means I think it's so great, I want to say to people, hey, look at this. Come to my page to check out this thing to go there. We also generated followers. So we got people who said, we like this enough to bookmark it, basically, and we want to come back to it later and frequently see what's going on and have that in our homepage. Oops, sorry, I forgot. One way we really generated a lot of followers and got sharing up was by connecting to our Oregon State football players. So Oregon State football has way more followers than we can ever hope to have, right? So they come to our program once a year, and they help us out. And when they're there, they're more than happy to take photos and do stuff with us. And so we just did a tweet, thanks for coming out. And we connected it to their Twitter. So all of their followers, it popped up on their feed. And we got way more attention and traffic from that than we did from our own content. So that opened up networks. And that's what you really want to look to do. You want to find different programs that can work with you or are similar to you and engage with them so you can engage with their followers as well and really expand your network. Another thing that can really help is who you're following, who you're engaging with. So as I sort of talked about before, there are really big, relevant national groups you want to make sure you're hooked up with. So if they're saying anything, you can repeat it and get it to your audience right away. And if they like what you're saying, they can take it to theirs. And there's also important local groups. So for us, it's Oregon Adapted Sports. That's a really big thing in the state of Oregon, so we want to connect with them. And the other thing that really helped us out, we started our Twitter page back in January of 2014. And then, of course, it was the Sochi Winter Olympics and the Paralympics. And so we actually got a lot of traffic to our page by sharing stories that we didn't create, but media somewhere else had created, about the Winter Olympics. And as you can see, the hockey team got a lot of traffic, which is really good because they came in for the hockey to see what it was. They got a little bit of that, and then we got to hopefully stay with them and generate a little bit more info. The other thing that's really important that sometimes doesn't get touched on is making sure that your presence online and your advocacy is crystal clear. So sometimes individuals with disabilities are represented in the media in not the way that we're actually going for. There's a lot of hero worship, or they were only able to do this once they overcame their disability. They've been sensationalized for something. If you've ever watched the ESPN E 360s, they tend to do a couple stories, but they don't really present physical activity and disability as the norm. It's sort of this abnormal, unique thing. And that's not what we want to promote on our pages, right? We want to make sure the message we're putting out there, the way we're advocating for individuals with disabilities, is correct. And so a lot of time we're battling against the fact that disability is still framed within the medical model in a lot of media outlets. And this really affects the message. In one way, this can generate a lot of attention. Those nice, fluffy, soft stories get shared a lot. They make people feel good. But again, it's not presented as the norm. So we really want to work to correct that. And you can say, here's this story about this thing. Wouldn't it be nice if? So you can point out the flaws with it and still spread the message. And then also just be conscious of what you're saying when you're generating messages. The other thing that's going on with disability in the media, and it's one of the biggest underrepresented minorities in media right now, and we know about one-fifth of Americans have some sort of disability, but they're not necessarily represented in TVs and movies in that way. I think it was about less than 1%. And if they are in there, it's the token individual with a disability who's just sort of sliced in there. And it's not central to the plot, it's not going anywhere. Or, again, people who are working with individuals with disabilities are a hero for working with them, or that people with disabilities need our help. And that's not the message we want to put out there. We want to make sure the stories that we're engaging with, the people that we're liking and following and connecting with, are on the same page with us. So a good way to make sure to really work with that for us, again, that helped out, was the Paralympics coverage. It wasn't perfect, but it was a lot better than what we had seen in the past. And we really stress using person-first language if we're connecting with people and they are not doing what we want. And we don't want to call them out and start a big social media Twitter battle by saying, oh, you did this, that's not okay. But you can privately message people on Twitter and you can say, oh, I really like your information, but I noticed you were doing this. We think it should go this way. So engaging in that conversation and educating others. And then whenever you're engaging in social media, it's really, really important that you think about those who are not on social media. For as many people that are on social media, there are still those that are off. And so what we really work to do is try to find the people that are on social media, get them engaged with people who are off social media, and hopefully recruit and pull them in from there. So that can be as simple as a lot of the exercise and sports science undergraduates that we have that are going into PT and OT, they're in clinics, they're working with stuff, and we're engaging with them right away, so then they can know to take that message and bring it to the people that they're working with. I've just thrown up our couple of social media stuff that we have. If you're on Twitter, feel free to check us out. And if you're on Facebook, our page is Impact for Life. And not to be confused with the other religious affiliations that use impact as their key term. It's one of the programs we have. So that's another thing. You want to make sure your acronyms that you use aren't acronyms for anything else. And with Twitter, as you see with our second Twitter, our I4L_OSU, it's much shorter than our first one. If you only have 140 characters, you don't want your name to be the longest part of your message and really restrict you. All of the grad students who work on this are on their GTAs and RAs are funded through this, so we do want to acknowledge our grants. And I will kick it over to everyone else.